So this morning, we're going to continue in our series titled Called, What a Follower of Jesus Looks Like. And we're going to be in kind of all over the Bible today. I usually don't teach like this. I usually find a passage of Scripture, stick to it, dive deep into it. But today is a little more practical, and we're going to be just kind of all over. So bear with me on that. If you want some if I'm going too fast in the passages, like you don't get note of it, just come talk to me. I have a printout that we can make copies of and give you a copy of those passages if that is something that you're wanting after this. But this morning, we're going to talk about that as followers of Christ, right? We are called to grow in Christ. That's what we are called to do. And to give you a fair warning this morning, like I said, we're going to be all over the place. And so if you're one of those Bible drill students and you won that, you're probably going to beat me too. And so that's great. But we are going to be flipping all over God's word this morning. And before we get started, what I want to talk about real quick is something we kind of talked about last week. Last week, we started this series and we brought out the verse of 2 Timothy 1:9, which says this. It says, He, meaning God, right, has saved us and he has called us to a holy life. Not because of anything that we have done, right, but because of his own purpose and grace. And so then we looked at the verse of Luke 9, verse 23, and it's the invitation that Jesus gives us when he invites us to follow him. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross, and follow me. Meaning that if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, right, if we're going to confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that he is our Savior, King, that he died and that he rose again and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, he's going to come back and he's going to make all things new, right? If we're going to believe that, that means we have to die to ourselves, right? And that's a hard thing to do, right? Every single day of our lives, from the point that we confess that Jesus is the Christ, right, to the day that we truly leave this world, right, that we go to sleep, we are supposed to die to something that is a part of our old self. Right, every single day that we have the privilege to wake up and receive God's new mercies, which this is actually, believe it or not, it's a paradox, dying to ourselves is one of God's new mercies. We are called to do that. Right, and as I don't bring this up again to rehash it or to beat it into you or anything like that. I bring this up because dying daily to ourselves is a crucial step in following Jesus. Right, in the next step, which is growing in Christ, being alive in Christ, thriving in Christ. And so if we're going to grow in Christ as he calls us to grow, we have to start with denying ourselves and dying to ourselves daily. And so we have to get up every morning and we have to ask ourselves, what is it that I'm supposed to die to today? What part of myself do I need to put to death? What needs to be mortified and killed? Right, that's a crucial step. And it's crucial because here's the reality of it. That's the only step that we can truly do in the process. The rest of it belongs to God. And here's what I mean by that. When we die to ourselves and then Christ, through his Spirit, grows in us and lives in us, right? It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Right? When we do that, he's the one that gives us the desire to grow to be more like him. Right? He's the one that gives us the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. We don't have that on our own. He gives us the desire to engage his word. He gives us the desire to be in constant communion with him through prayer. And he's the one that gives us the desire to worship and belong to a body, to the church, which is what we're going to talk about this morning. And so if you would, go ahead and turn in your copy of the word to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and as you're turning there, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we just thank you for today. God, a day that wasn't promised to us, a day that you give us in your mercy and grace. And so, Father, I pray that today that we can do this, that we can die to something in ourselves today, something that needs to be gone, something that might be standing in the way of us growing closer and closer to you and being more and more like you. And so help us to see that. But God, help us to grow in Christ. Help us to grow in you as well. Remove anything that is hindering that growth. We thank you for your word, Father, and we thank you that your word always accomplishes its work, that it never returns void. And so we pray that this morning as we dive into your word, we pray all of this in your holy name. And the church said, amen. All right, so the first thing that we're going to talk about this morning in respect to growing in Christ is engaging Christ in his word. And so like I said, this is a very practical sermon today. It's almost like a teaching series. But what we're going to do is we're giving you kind of this 30,000 foot view of growing in Christ, and we're giving some helpful tips along the way. And hopefully, my prayer is sometime in 2022, we can offer a workshop or a class for you guys where we can you can come in and learn some different habits and grow in those habits as well. But for today, we're just giving this overview and this importance of it. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, as we talk about engaging Christ in his word, it says this. Paul writes, all scripture, right, is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Right, and so Paul gives us the importance of the scriptures right here. God's written word, the Bible, right? God gives us his word by the power of the Spirit through multiple people over 66 books for our good, right? That's what he does it for. He gives it to us so that we can know him more, so that we can grow in knowledge of him and who he is, so that we can know the gospel and the finished work of the gospel and know Jesus Christ and his saving work and what he did for us on the cross. Right, God gives us his written word so that we can engage him in it. So we can engage him in it. Listen, here's the first thing that we need to know or that we need to understand when we come to engage the word. And it's this, and this might hurt your feelings, and it's okay. It hurt mine too. It's not about you. Right, his word is not about you. It's not. Right, we're a little part of this whole thing. And that's a blessing that we get to be a part of it, right? But it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ, right? Jesus is the central figure in all of the scriptures. Everything in the Bible, right, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all point to Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And some of us, right, may have heard this cute little phrase or catchy saying of, you know, the B-I-B-L-E, it's a... basic instructions before leaving earth. Anyone ever hear that? I might hurt your feelings again. That's not what this is, okay? That's cute, it's catchy, but the Bible is not basic instructions before leaving earth. There is information on how to live as followers of Jesus in this, but it's so much more, right? Like I said, everything about the Bible is about Jesus Christ and his story. It's about God coming to us, entering into this world, entering into the brokenness, entering into the shame and the suffering, and offering healing from the inside out, which is what Jesus Christ did and is doing. That's what this is all about. The second thing that will help us engage the word is this. It takes effort, right? It's hard work. And because it takes work, that means it's not easy. In fact, I love that the Bible tells us this in 2 Peter 3:16. Peter wrote this about Paul's writings. He says, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction as they do other scriptures. But there are things in God's word that is very hard for us to understand, hard for us to wrap our mind around. And that's okay. It takes work. Peter, right, an apostle of Jesus, had a hard time understanding what we now call the New Testament in Paul's writings. But the amazing thing for us to know is that we live in a world, right, where tools are readily available to help us engage in his word through different websites, different apps, different resources, millions of Bible reading plans, millions of devotionals, all of that is literally at our fingertips to help us engage in God's word. And praise Jesus that we live in that time, right? So my advice for you this morning is as you figure out and work on engaging God's word is to find a Bible reading plan, not just a devotional, but a Bible reading plan, right? A plan that helps you engage his word, that helps you walk through the scriptures and helps you understand what God is doing and what God is doing all around us. If you have questions about any plans, Chris, myself, Christian, we would love to help point you to any of those. A couple of them just to mention from here, Bible Project has an amazing plan to help you engage scripture. She Reads Truth, He Reads Truth. They have a Kids Reads Truth now. Those are all amazing resources to help you engage God's word more and more and more and get to know him more, because that's what it's about. The third thing I want to share with you about engaging God's word is this: to expect to learn something, right, and look for ways to apply it. Always expect to learn something from God's word. As I was praying earlier, anytime that we pray, right, anytime that God's word comes out of his mouth, anytime that God's word is proclaimed, his work, his word, never returns to him empty. It always accomplishes his purpose. Isaiah 55, 11 says, "My word that proceeds from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper where I send it." Listen, church, that's a promise. That's a promise of God's scripture. His word will always accomplish its purpose. It will never return void. So when we engage it, right, when we read it, we need to expect that promise to be fulfilled in our hearts. Whether that's you engaging it yourself, whether that's me up here teaching it, or whether we have some kid up here delivering it, it does its work. Always. What an amazing thing. I love what Jeffrey Thomas, a Welsh pastor, he once said this when it comes to engaging God's word in the work that it takes. He says, "Do not expect to master the Bible in a day or a month or even a year. Rather, expect often to be puzzled by its contents. It is not all equally clear. Great men of God often feel like absolute novices when they read the word. So do not expect always to get an emotional charge or a feeling of quiet peace when you read the Bible." This is where it gets good. He says, "Let the word break over your heart and mind again and again and again as the years go by. And imperceptibly, there will come great changes in your attitude and in your outlook and in your conduct." And so when we continually engage in God's word and we continually let it accomplish its work, you're going to continually see changes, which is going back to that dying to yourself. So we engage God's word about himself over and over and over again. And when we do, Psalm 1:3 tells us that we become like a tree planted by the streams of water in which our leaf does not wither, and in all that we do, we prosper. It's a promise as we engage God's word. The second thing we're going to talk about in growing in Christ is this: communing with Christ. What I mean by that is not just a speaking to prayer, but a listening and a speaking to prayer. It's a two-way communication, right? Colossians 4:2 says this: "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." Right? We continue steadfastly in prayer. If we're going to live in a relationship with God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to learn to listen and speak with God about everything that goes on in our lives. Right, everyone in here has a relationship with at least one person, right? I hope so. If not, please come talk to me. I'll be your friend, okay? But we all have a relationship with at least one person. But here's the thing: in order to learn about that person, you have to do what? You have to communicate with them. You have to listen to them, hear what they like, hear what they're all about, and vice versa. You have to talk with them, ask them questions, learn more and more and more. The same is true for God, right? We learn about God by engaging in his word, by listening to his word, and his word changes us as we learn to pray his word over our lives. Right, that's why we prayed scripture and offered scripture to pray over each one of these children this morning. Right, we want to listen to what God's word tells us, and we want his word to change our lives as we pray over it with thanksgiving. We want to know him more, and we want to speak with him more. But if we're honest with each other, right, this is probably one of the hardest parts of our faith. Right, it's not that easy to listen to and speak with God. And some of us think we don't know how to do it, or some of us think we're not qualified to do it, or we're just scared to talk, or whatever the case is. Some of us might think he doesn't listen. But here's the reality. None of that's true. None of that's true. Right? Listening and speaking with God is not any different than listening and speaking with me or your spouse or your best friend. But what we have to do is this. We have to start. Just start somewhere. Right? Just start somewhere. Just start praying. The beautiful thing about prayer is that when we do pray, the Spirit of God, his word tells us, intercedes for us. He knows what's in our hearts, and he takes that before the Father on our behalf. And so when we pray, we can be confident that he's going to step in on our behalf and not worry about messing it up. That's the beautiful thing. Because he takes it and he says what's in here. We just have to start. If we never start, we never grow in it, right? See, when we look at the life of Christ, Jesus spent many, many hours of his ministry in prayer. See, when things were hard or overwhelming, what he would do is he would sneak away and he would pray. When things were busy, he would get away and he would pray. When things were good, he would get away and pray. Right, prayer is a vital part of our faith journey and our spiritual growth, and we believe that here at Crossroads. It's one of our values. But you have to start, right? You have to start somewhere, and the place to start is right where you are, right now, right? It doesn't have to be later. It doesn't have to be when you're alone. You can pray as I'm speaking. It's not going to hurt my feelings. And the cool part is that there are so many ways that you can pray, and there's so many tools that you can use to pray. You can use journals, index cards, apps on your phone. Like I came across one app this week called PrayerMate app. It's really cool. Look it up. Right? It gives you lists that you can type in and pray, like whether that's your family, close friends, your church family, people that you want to share the gospel with, and it walks you through that on a daily basis. It's called PrayerMate app. And there's so many more that you can download and go through. Right, there are so many models that you can pray. Here at Crossroads, we go through the Acts prayer model almost on a weekly basis, where we pray through adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. And we pray those things because we believe in the power of corporate prayer. We believe that communication with God matters. And the big part is that we just learn to do it and start doing it. And so some simple tips in that, and then we're going to move on to the next thing, is this. Keep it simple, right? Don't overcomplicate it. Don't make it too much. Don't try to use too big of words. Just keep it simple. Second thing is pray often, right? Stop and pray when someone or something comes to your mind. When they first come to your mind, just stop what you're doing and say a quick prayer about that. At our men's breakfast last week, my brother-in-law, Neil, said something that was really incredible. He said he doesn't end his prayer with amen until the end of the day. Because he wants it to be a continual thing. He wants it to continually happen. And then the third thing is be honest. Right, there's no point in lying to God or withholding from God. He already knows what's in our hearts, so just be honest with him about it. Whether that's doubt or fear or anger or joy or sadness or whatever the case may be, he already knows. Sometimes the most helpful thing to do is just express it. And when we do those things, we become consistent with them. His word tells us again that we will grow to be more and more like Christ. So the last thing that we're going to talk about in growing in Christ is this, is worshiping Christ and belonging in his church, right? Being a part of this. It's joining together with his people to both receive from and, get this, give to one another. I think Peter puts it best in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 10, when he writes this. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, listen, as a follower of Jesus Christ, right, the church is not optional. It's not. Right, we are called to belong to his church, whether that's here at Crossroads or another church here in town. We are called to belong to his church. We are called to meet with other believers, with other brothers and sisters in Christ, to proclaim his excellencies together, to worship him together, to encourage one another in our walk together, right? To be in our faith journey together. See, being a follower of Christ, it's a corporate thing, right? For years, I think we've put a lot of emphasis on the individual, and that matters, but it's corporate. It's you and me. It's us doing this together. It's us being willing to pick up a brother or sister when they stumble or fall and say, hey, man, dust it back off. We're right here with you. Let's keep going. It's entering into their pain and their suffering with them and helping them to come out of that so they can experience and see and know the goodness of Jesus Christ. Because that's what he does and that's what he's doing for us. And it's doing that together. Being more like Christ together. It's practicing honest togetherness with one another. It's a place where we can lovingly speak the truth in love to one another. Right, where we can live in action and in truth, where we can disciple one another and encourage one another to go out into this world to make disciples who make disciples. And so my prayer for us, my prayer for you is that we can be a place where we can grow in our relationship with Christ as others join in with us, and to be a place where corporate worship is our response to that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 through 16, Paul writes this. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Right? When we do it together, we grow. When we do it together, we're built up in love. And Christ calls us to grow up in every way with the whole body, right? To enter into this journey together, to make coming together as the church a priority, to encourage one another, to engage in the word, both individually and corporately, to join one another in prayer and communion with God, and to worship together. And here's the best part. When we come together to worship here in this place, I love this. I love that this is Scripture's promise. We're not just joining with our brothers and sisters that are here in this room. Right? When we come and we worship together and we glorify God together in this place, we are worshiping with the saints and with the angels in heaven, singing hallelujah. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Right? We are worshiping with all of creation. All of creation sings his song. And how amazing is that? And when we come and we do that, we're doing it together with all of it. But in order to grow in this manner, right, we have to make coming to church a priority in our lives. And I'm not saying you can't miss. I'm not going to be that guy. But I'm saying that we have to make it a priority over other things. Right? Christ calls us to that. I'm not the one that's calling us to that. Christ in his word calls us to that. It's in Hebrews, right? He commands us not to neglect the meeting together and to encourage one another in faith and in good deeds, to give and to serve, to be a part of a community, not just a consumer in it, to worship him and to belong to his people, to his community together. See, as followers of Christ, we are called to grow in Christ. That's what we are called to become more and more and more like him on a daily basis. Our first step in this is to die to ourselves, right? To put something in ourselves to death today and then tomorrow and then the next day and the next day until we meet him face to face. That's what we are called to do. And then from that point on, as we die to ourselves, right, he gives us the desire to engage in his word, where we let it do its work in our lives. And then he gives us the desire to commune with him by listening and by praying scripture. And then he gives us the freedom to commit to belonging to a body of believers and to worship him together. And when we give our lives to these gifts of grace, to these habits, that's what they become. They become habits. They become things that change our lives from the inside out, that transform us and make us look more and more like him. But as I said, the first step that we have to do is we have to accept that invitation to follow him, to trust in him as our Lord and Savior, to trust that he is renewing and that he is restoring all things unto himself, to trust that he loves you more than you can imagine and that he longs to be in a relationship with you more than you can imagine. He longs for that. He longs to restore you, to break your chains of addiction or self-hatred or hatred of other people, of guilt or shame, or the list can go on and on and on, right? He breaks those chains. To trust that he loves you so much that he died for you. To trust that he took your sins upon the cross and he extended forgiveness and grace to you in return. That's the invitation he's extending. And your step is easy. It's just to accept it, right? To follow him. And if that's something that the Lord is placing on your heart today, I want to encourage you this morning as we close to come talk to me, talk to the person beside you. It doesn't have to be me. It can be the person that you came with, the person behind you, in front of you, whoever, Chris, Christian, anyone. Just talk to someone before you leave this place today if that is something that God has been pressing on your heart to accept the invitation to follow him. And then be ready to die to yourself every day from that point on. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, that you are good and that you are God. We thank you that you give us the opportunity to engage you and your word, to know more about you, to learn more about you, to grow in that relationship through what you have revealed to us through the scriptures. So God, give us that desire. God, help us to be in communion with you as we engage your word, to listen to what you have to say, to reveal that truth in our hearts so that you can change us. And God, give us the desire to speak freely to you as well and honestly. Let that be a constant line of communication that never closes. And God, give us the desire to worship and belong, to read your scriptures, to sing songs to your name, to pray together, to be here for one another as we come alongside families and brothers and sisters in Christ to make disciples who make disciples. God, give us these desires to grow in you, because that's what you have called us to. That is the life you invited us to live, and we thank you for that. God, we thank you for your son and the price that he paid on the cross for our sins. Let us never take that for granted. God, you are good, and we love you. So we're going to continue to sing songs to your name. It's in your name we pray. Amen.